It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. What can I say? We have Norm Blumenthal joining us. Norm Blumenthal is not only one of our regular contributors, but he is the guy who defends working class tips like you and me. And I'm excited to have him on the show because he's always has a unique perspective on what's happening, not only in business, but in politics. And of course, we have a lot to talk about when it comes to both business and politics. There's a lot of changes on the way. And so I'm excited to have him on the show. You know, Norm and I have been working together now for several years. And one of the things that he has coined the phrase, felony stupid. You know, and I love this. And I think that's when I first fell in love with Norm Blumenthal, because some of the things that we do are felony stupid. Norm Blumenthal, attorney for the workers and consumers here in America, selected as one of the top attorneys in Southern California, regular contributor here on Money for Lunch. Always, always good to have him here. Norm Blumenthal, welcome back.
Thanks, Bert. Nice to be back. And it's great to see that the American people did not let us down again in this election. You know, when it comes to voting, they managed to vote against their own self-interest again. And here we go. It's amazing. Despite everything we could tell everybody, that as much as you may have not liked Hillary for reasons that are patent and you can see, you still had to hold your nose and vote for her, because at the end of the day, her and their fellow Democrats, they're going to be for the people, and they're not going to be for corporate interests. And they're going to be for the 99%, and they're not going to be for the 1%. Although Hillary was pretty close to being for the 1% herself, she wasn't the ideal candidate either, and that's why she lost. But President-elect Trump, there's no doubt about his credentials from his appointments. And our biggest concern is his Labor Department appointment. He is the current head of Carl's Jr. He owns the company. It's a public company. And he's opposed to minimum wage. He's opposed to increasing the salary before you can exempt someone from overtime from $23,000 a year to $42,000 a year. That's not going to happen. Minimum wage increase in the federal level, that's not going to happen. Additional worker rights being prosecuted at the federal level, that's not going to happen. Narrowing the arbitration provisions of employment contracts, that's not going to happen. So everything you would expect to help the working stiff is not going to happen. And everything you expect to help corporation is going to happen. It's going to be a tax reduction at the corporate level, a tax reduction for rich people. So at the end of the day, it's obvious. Look at the stock market. It's gone up about 2,000 points since Donald Trump's election. What does that tell you? The only reason the stock market goes up is because corporation is going to make a lot more money. And how do you make more money? You make more money because you reduce your costs and you increase your profits. Well, they're going to reduce their tax burden, that's for sure. And there's no chance of the labor force payments going up. So that's not going to happen. So, you know, there's always something else here. Fortunately, in this country, we do have 50 states. And as part of the election, which no one is talking about, four new states joined the club of increasing their minimum wages, and that was Arizona, Colorado, Maine, and Washington in this last election. And so now we're about almost 50% of the states have minimum wages above the $7.25 federal wage. And the rest of the states, they're run by Republicans, and, you know, it's not going to happen, but maybe it will. But to look in the future for the next 4 years to hope for anything for the workers out of the federal government is you're just dreaming. You are just dreaming. The only thing you can expect at the federal level is going to be increased interest rates and increased gasoline prices. That you can expect. We got the head of Exxon is going to be running our State Department. And we got former governor of Texas running our Energy Department. And we've got the Oklahoma Attorney General, who is opposed to environmental regulations, running our Environmental Protection Agency. So
right, running our EPA,
Right. So it's basically, as we talked about earlier, it's the inmates running the asylum. This is going to be a complete takeover, and they are going to run it their way. And they control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And now, how do they? But they're one thing we know about the Republicans is they love to balance the budget. So, how in all of this corporate tax decrease and 1% people at the top tax decrease? How are they going to balance the budget? Well, they're going to balance the budget because they're not going to be paying much more for Social Security, Medicare, Obamacare. And so they're going to take out the safety nets, food stamps. You know, welfare mothers, what did they say during the Reagan administration? Lick this. You know, so there's not going to be any food stamps, you know. And so it's going to be a shame at the federal level, but all the states have to pick up the slack, and everybody should concentrate at the state level to get your states to pass minimum wage laws, and you know, especially those in California, if there's any violations, you know, there's plenty of attorneys here, including myself, that are here to protect you, and we'll keep fighting for everybody. You just made our job a lot tougher, but and the judges coming in, they're all going to be pro corporations. You know, there's that's the way it is. They're going to have that bent, and so when we get up there, and I'm representing the people, the other attorneys are representing the corporations. You know, they say good attorneys know the law, great attorneys know the judge. So at this point in time, they're all going to be in with the corporations. You know, the judges will be in their corner, and so it's going to be the adversary system. You know, we're going to be taking the hit, and I just couldn't have warned everybody more beforehand that it was going to happen. If it did happen, what would happen, and it will happen. But that's all right. You know, we have to move forward and deal with the situation on the ground as it is, and we have to, at the legal level, at the adversary level, your attorneys out there like me that represent labor and employees will just be working a lot harder to protect what rights are left at the state level, because at the federal level, there really isn't going to be a lot left at what they take away over the next 4 years, both in terms of air and water pollution and in terms of any type of controls on in the environment or controls on keeping wages down. There's not going to be an increase in minimum wage. There's not going to be an increase in the threshold before they can take away your overtime. It's not going to happen. So this was a very important election, and although Mrs. Clinton got more votes, the Electoral College is the way this country operates, and there's good and bad in it. But the states are now in charge of where everybody wants to focus their attention. So that's really where we are at this point in time.
Well, you know, and here's the deal. Look, I want to repeat what you said. You know, we're stuck with the federal administration or with the new administration coming in, but we can still influence and have an impact on our local level. So I think that, you know, the deal here is you still have to get out there. You still have to get involved. You still have to have your voice heard and get in. It's time to get more involved, not less involved. That's what I'm trying to say. And you can do it there at the local level. And I think that there's still a lot of movement that can be done there on the local level, on the state level is what I'm talking about.
Right, and that's where we need to focus our energies. And if there's a problem, you know, contact your state attorneys in your state, and California, and contact us. If you have a problem where you're not being paid, you know, minimum wage, or you're not being paid for your overtime in California, we're already at the 40,000 level for the break for the overtime laws because of our high minimum wage. And so the higher the minimum wage gets, the better it is for everybody. And we need there's going to be jobs. I think that President-elect Trump will create jobs. The problem is going to be the wage structure. And the only thing we can hope for is there's going to be a shortage of labor. Now,
right.
When you close – but the issue is, and a bigger issue is people have to think about, when you close plants in Mexico – and there's no jobs there, where are the Mexicans? They're going to be coming here. And right. No wall or fence or any of this other nonsense is going to stop them. So one idea I floated, and I want people to think about, is making your Social Security card like your credit card, like something that you know, that has identification on it, that is forgery proof, that has some type of you know, thumbprint or when you get a job, you have to show it. Now, the corporations don't want this because right now, all you have to do is fill out a W-9. It's, you know, the easiest thing in the world is to get a job in this country in terms of being hired. And the least thing you have to do is to check for citizenship. Well, that's what should be changing, and that would create a difference where the American workforce would have a better opportunity, if they want to take these low-paying jobs, which may not be the case, but if no one takes them, then they're going to have to pay more for that employee, and maybe the American citizen will take those jobs. But at the end of the day, these low-paying jobs are all going to go to illegals that are coming into the country because there's no jobs in Mexico. So that's
right.
what'll be created, and I think you'll see it. The last couple of years, there's been an exodus, actually, of a net loss of immigrants, and now I think there'll be a net gain. I'm all for immigration. I think it's important to have immigration, legal immigration. We want to know who's here, but that can all happen in a good way. But at the end of the day, if you get uncontrolled immigration, you're going to have a lot of people that'll work in the underground economy for a lot less because they aren't working legally. So therefore, they'll take less than minimum wage. So it starts. It's the movement down that we're going to, unfortunately, under the Reagan, Reagan, just like Reagan, under the Trump administration. Here we go again. Those of us that lived through Reagan, we know what's going to happen, you know, with these deficits that he's going to leave us with. You know, it's going to be something that's very ugly, and we'll all have to live with it, though. And in doing it, the folks out there that voted for Trump, you bear the responsibility. So you voted for him, you got him, and so therefore you need to be out there and accept what you have. Those of us that didn't, we accept what is going to happen, but at the same token, we are not going to go quietly into this good night. We are going to be fighting at the state and local level for the next 4 years to hopefully keep what we've been able to gain in the last 8 years, because it's all on the table now.
Right. Hopefully, there'll be a small, some kind of a small balance there, or an attempt of balance there. You know, I want to talk about this too, because a lot of people don't get this, and I do want to touch. I want to touch on this a little bit more before you go. And that is, you mentioned this arbitration clause, and a lot of people. You know, I've talked about this before, but it's important that people understand why arbitration in these employment contracts are harmful, and I want you to talk about that for a few.
Sure, and that's what you do is, right now, everybody that gets a job with any corporation or company with any kind of size, you sign, you get your employee handbook and you sign, you read it and you accept the terms in it. Buried in there is what's called an arbitration clause. And that clause takes away every employee's right to go to court. And your only right is you have is to go to arbitration, usually by an arbitrator that's picked by the employer, and generally favorable to them because that's where their business comes from. And you also give up your right to join in a concerted activity in what's called a class action, and that's the area law I practice in, where the employees get together and one employee can sue on behalf of the many. So
right.
If you're an employee at one Carl's Jr. and they're not paying overtime, you can sue all the Carl's Jr.'s for not paying overtime, because if it's a corporate policy, they would be responsible under the joint employer law and under class action law. But that's all going away. That doesn't exist. So now you want an attorney to represent you. You're not going to be able to hire an attorney like me, or you're not going to be able to find an attorney at all, because very few employees, attorneys if any, will take an individual's case. It's just not worth it. But they would take your case in terms of being a class action. So that's where the problem is going to lie. You're not going to have an attorney. They're going to have an attorney. You're not going to know the law. They're going to know the law. The judge, the arbitrator, is going to be somewhat partial to them because they bring them the business, certainly not partial to you because you're in there by yourself, and you have no right to appeal, and you'll never see a judge. And so basically, you're at the employer's mercy, and if you go to the Labor Department, unless you have some state protection, you're certainly not going to get any at the federal level. So it's very important, and we've made some progress in having this overturned as being a denial of your right for concerted activity under the National Labor Relations Act. But with the new expected Supreme Court coming, that eventually will be appointed the new judges, I think that the new NLR, National Labor Relations Board, our expectation is it's not going to happen. So
right.
We're it's not all doom and gloom, though. We're still here. Tomorrow's another day. Everybody just put your shoulder down and work hard, and hopefully those of us that can get things done for you will, and we'll keep working hard for everybody.
I love it. Norm Blumenthal, always good to have you here. Just fantastic, as always, to have you here. I'm excited to see how things transpire here in the next 12 months. And if you guys have questions, if you think you're being mistreated, you can reach out to Norm Blumenthal and his team at BAM Law. That's BAMLawCA.com. His team will handle your questions, point you in the right direction. Norm Blumenthal, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Bert. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and a happy and healthy new year to everybody.
Same here. Good job there, Norm. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to Norm and his team, and Happy New Year. I cannot believe it, but 12 months have flown by immediately, right? Let's see. We're going to do a quick sound check here. Amy, can you hear the show? Let's see. Amy, I got a talking pipe. Let's see, audio now. All right, so Amy, verify that you can hear the show. We're going to take a commercial break, and you can find us live on Facebook. So just go to facebook.com/ Bert Martinez Fans, and you'll see me there taking your questions, and we appreciate your support. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew.
You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick.
Oh, yeah.
Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing. You sound awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right. We are back. And if you're just joining us right now, you can also find us live on Facebook. We have been playing around with this thing called live broadcast, and we've been using Facebook Live. We're going to start experimenting with YouTube as well. But let's walk before we run, or in this case, let's crawl before we walk, and then let's go from there. My next guest is Brendan Gochran. Brendan Gochran holds a degree in molecular biology from the University of Connecticut and his MBA from the Bentley University. Brendan has spent 15 years in the healthcare field and was an executive for a major nutraceutical manufacturer before starting multiple companies of his own, the latest being Livermedic. He conducts healthcare lectures or health lectures to both physicians and the public. His research focuses primarily on gut health, liver health, endocrine system, adrenal fatigue, and optimum diets. Brendan Gochran, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Bert. Great to be on. Happy holidays to you and the listeners.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to have you here. And this is such an interesting, I think, situation because I don't know anybody who focuses, quote, just on the liver. And again, your program is called Livermedic. Your product is called Livermedic. And so why the liver? What was this reason for this focus or creating this?
Yeah, great question. I don't know too many five-year-olds who wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a liver professional. So one of the main reasons why I got involved in this is because I had friends and family members who were coming down with various health problems. And one of the things that pretty quickly becomes overlooked by conventional medicine are all the toxins that come into the body. And how they enter into the body is primarily through a gut system or an intestinal system that has been broken down. So they gain access to the body, they come into the body, and then the liver ends up sort of filtering all this stuff. And if it gets overwhelmed, disease ends up being the result. And what we commonly refer to as metabolic syndrome includes fatty liver disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, leaky gut, chronic inflammation, adrenal fatigue, all of these things that promote, lower lifespans, a lot of pharmaceutical drugs and intervention. And so I just thought it made a lot of sense for us to focus on those two things, gut health and liver health, and let's solve a lot of these common diseases that we're running into recently.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. And something that a lot of people don't realize that you mentioned is that there are a lot of great medicines out there. But one of the side effects of these medicines is the toxicity to the body. And that, as you mentioned already, goes through the liver. So people who are taking 4 or 5 or 6 meds a day, sometimes more, their liver as well, as well as their body. And you mentioned the gut system. And this is why I think this segment is going to be so important.
Yeah, and I don't think that people completely understand the pathology, and it's fairly straightforward and simple as long as you sort of follow the steps. You know, the food supply is totally changing over the last 40 years, especially with the integration of GM or GMO foods, genetically modified foods or genetically engineered foods. What that's allowing into our food supply is a lot more heavy-duty herbicides and pesticides and insecticides. And those things are getting into our digestive tract and sort of destroying the balance that's taking place there, poking holes in our gut, allowing things to stream into our body that weren't previously coming in. Once that happens, you get an inflammatory response to that. That ends up kicking off. The body does not like to be in a chronically inflamed state. It's actually ages the body. So we start secreting cortisol to sort of reduce the inflammation. Well, you end up with adrenal fatigue. So people have an inability to sort of balance their stress. And then at night, it inhibits people's ability to go to sleep fairly easily. Those same toxins that start that chronic inflammation, they go into the liver. That creates fatty liver disease. The liver is a regulatory organ for just a ton of things intricately involved in the endocrine system. People who have type 2 diabetes, it's typically because of a malfunctioning liver. So you see where all these, and that negatively impacts the cardiac system. Toxins negatively impact cognitive abilities. So these are all related. So if we could just get the education out there, people can start arming themselves.
I love this. I love this. Let's talk about this. I want to get your opinion. What do you think are today's greatest dangers to our health? Talk about that.
Yeah. So by far, I mean, I do this, you know, I give lectures to physicians all the time, and I have this one slide in my PowerPoint where I sort of juxtapose all the diseases that we're seeing along with the introduction of GMO foods. And it's almost a one-to-one correlation. What people don't understand about GMO or GM foods is, again, it's the amount of toxins that are used in order to maintain crops. Okay, so not only that, but because they're put on produce in such a high concentration, you can't wash those things off anymore. So you can sit there at your kitchen sink and wash and wash and wash like you could with conventional stuff, right? Hey, I can wash off this stuff. Not with GM foods. They're integral because of the concentrations of the Roundup and of the other chemicals that are being used. So those pesticides are getting into our body, and they're designed to inhibit production for insects, to massively disrupt the digestion of insects, essentially turning the intestines of an insect more or less inside out into a slurry. So what exactly do you think the impact of ingesting these things are to us? Very bad stuff. And I'll just mention a couple of others real quick. Cleaning products, okay, they don't need to be toxic to work, folks. And the other thing, a personal healthcare product. So everything that you put on your skin, 75% of it's transdermal. Start reading those ingredients. Anything over about 8-9 letters probably isn't good for you. So watch out for those things.
Yeah, I like that. Anything over 8-9. If you can't pronounce it, you might not want to put it on you, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. That's a byline. Everybody ought to live. And a lot of those chemicals that we're talking about in these cleaning products and these personal health care products, they are endocrine disrupting chemicals. And I hope that doesn't go over people's heads here. That essentially means it's getting into your body and either mimicking a hormone or inhibiting a hormone. And as we know, the hormones are sort of the superhighway to the body. So if you start fiddling around with that chemistry, boy, you're going to have some serious problems. So let's avoid them.
Okay, so let's talk about how can we reverse some of this stuff? Because, you know, you just talked about a lot of it being in our food supply. So we're not going to have a whole lot of control. I know that there's some organic choices out there. I don't know how realistic that is anymore. I know that it sounds good. But again, organic is almost put on everything, right? One of my favorite things I saw the other day was organic natural gravy. And this was, you know, being sold as an organic product in a box. Now, I don't know about
right.
you, but I don't know where, you know, gravy grows or is, comes oozing out of the ground organically. So you can call
right.
it whatever you
right.
want. There's no thing in my book is organic gravy, unless, maybe a funny organic, all natural gravy. People are buying it because it's got the word organic on it. So what are our chances? How do we start reversing some of this stuff, Brandon?
Yeah, good question. And you know what? I visited a lot of farms, and I have yet to pass an organic gravy farm. So your question is a good one. I think you can't be in this industry without being an advocate. You know, we tried to get GMO labeling laws through. That's been pushed back by the likes of Monsanto and ADM and Dow Chemical and all the rest of them. And by the way, I'm going to throw Whole Foods on that list. Whole Foods is not your friend, okay, folks? You know, they not all the stuff in their stores are organic, and they fight the GMO labeling laws. So, but your point is a good one. Organic is A, hard to find, and B, expensive. So I just tell people, try to stay away from the processed foods. Look at other ingredients. You know, we've got some information on our website that talk about the types of ingredients to avoid and where you commonly find endocrine disrupting hormones, and just try to avoid those sources. It's not easy. Eat organic when you can. Avoid heavily processed vegetable oils, you know, consume the coconut oil, the olive oil, and the butter. Butter's not bad for you unless it's coming from an animal that's been consuming GMO foods, right? So those are some of the things that we can start to focus on. Start to incorporate fermented foods in your diet. So you are feeding the beneficial bacteria in your gut that's been sort of saving you from a lot of this misery. We really have to sort of reinvent ourselves and refocus on gut health. We make a number of supplements that detoxify the liver while helping to repair the gut. You know, those are the types of things that people have to incorporate into their diet, even if they're eating healthy. Because as you said, we're getting bombarded by lots of different toxins from several different sources. So even those folks that are eating healthy, unfortunately, we need to be supplementing and make sure that you hydrate yourself too. That's real important for good health.
Yeah, so I want to back up and talk about eating fermenting food. Quickly, yogurt comes to mind. I'm not a big fan of dairy products. So why is it, why is it important for us to eat some of this fermenting food?
And, it's interesting because we're sort of an agrarian society, but we flipped here. So, 100 years ago, if you're up here in the Northeast like I am, you've got a good 4 or 5 months of harvest, and then that's it. So whatever you pulled out of the ground, you better make sure that you can eat it during the winter. And so what they did was they took their the abundance of their harvest, and they pickled their foods. And they were eating a lot of pickled foods and fermented foods during the winter. And what that did was that sort of reinvigorated and repopulated those good bacteria in your digestive tract. And if you don't do it, for instance, we're eating a lot more sugars and carbs than we were 100 years ago, even 20 years ago,
right.
really. And that's totally changing the microbiome.
Even 5 years ago, we're eating more carbs and sugars. Just within the last 5 years, it's increased a lot. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So what we're doing is we're feeding candida. They're getting into an overpopulation. We're not taking in enough fermented foods, which bring in all those good bacteria that could potentially push them back and bring it back into balance. So this is a double-barreled experiment that we're embarking on here. So fermented foods are really important. You mentioned the yogurt and likewise, I'm not a huge proponent of dairy because, well, quite frankly, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that we're drinking milk from a cow. If
I know.
Rats were the size of cows and could be kept around easily, we would be drinking rat milk, okay? So it doesn't
make
a whole lot of sense what we're doing. But when we're talking about fermented
Brendan, what we'll have to do is we'll have to bring you back. So we can have a whole segment on why milk is bad. But I'm sorry, I cut you off. So if you're like us and you don't like dairy, what were the alternatives to fermenting foods?
Oh yeah, anything that's pickled. I mean, people like pickles.
Really?
Sure. Sauerkraut is fine. Kimchi, yeah, all those things. Yeah.
Great. I eat sauerkraut. One of my favorite products to eat is pickled ginger.
Excellent. Boy, that's super healthy. That's a good choice. plenty of pickled foods out there.
I love it. I love it. And when we're saying pickled food, I'm going to suggest you stay away from pickled pig's feet.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely.
Back to the whole thing that if rats were as big as pigs, we'd be eating pickled rat's feet. It's
right.
Just amazing, unfortunately, pickling and frying in America has gone too far. If it's fried, we'll eat it. If it's pickled, we'll eat it. And some of that, you have to scratch your head and go, Brendan, we're out of time, but I've enjoyed this so much. I want to bring you back soon and talk about some more of the, more health strategies and health tips. If you guys want to check out Brendan and his team, you can go to livermedic.com, livermedic.com. A wealth of information awaits you there. Brendan Cochran, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Hey, such a pleasure again. Happy holidays to you. I'd be more than happy to come back on. I had a real fun time.
Excellent. Good stuff there from Brendan Cochran. Brendan Cochran. And it's an amazing thing. Look, our food supply is in danger, which puts us at danger. And, it's just one of those things. Listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when I come back, we're going to be talking about something that is so important in business, really in life. You can't not get away from contracts. My next guest is going to help us avoid some of the mistakes. And you're going to love how easy it is right after this commercial break.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
The other mic. We are back. So I'm being challenged today because I'm on Facebook Live, and that requires an additional button that I have to press. And then sometimes I forget to press my main mic. And so anyway, we're back. Both mics are open. We're back. My next guest is Megan Porth. Rhymes like North. P-O-R-T-H. Megan is the owner and managing attorney at YourContractShop.com, YourContractShop.com, a web-based law firm that aims to make seeing an attorney as easy as buying a book on Amazon. Megan's favorite thing in the entire world is to help people ensure their freedom through entrepreneurship, and she plans to change the face of the legal profession to help more people like you and I, more entrepreneurs, more business owners. Megan Porth, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You know what? I'm excited because when I found out about what you were doing, I just thought, man, this product, this service, your time has come because we need this. As entrepreneurs, as business people, we need a simple way of dealing with contracts.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, the entire economy is built upon contracts, even contracts that we don't know that we're engaging in. I tell people all the time, We assume that there isn't a contract because it's not in writing, but we engage in contracts all the time. All you have to have is an offer, an acceptance of that offer, and an exchange of consideration, and boom, you have a contract. So yes,
right.
Understanding contracts and really knowing them is imperative, especially for business owners.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what, and I want to dive into this because, you know, you have said that being a lawyer sucks, and I want you to talk about this. Here you are, you're an attorney,
okay.
You do this for a living, so why does being a lawyer suck sometimes?
Yeah, well, so I came to the legal profession as a second career. I was an entrepreneur before, and I had worked for a number of different businesses and in a number of different capacities. So when I went out and I started practicing law, I really was confused by the legal business model. I looked at it and I thought, wow, it's really cumbersome. And then I looked at what the requirements for it were for attorneys, and I thought, okay, those don't seem to make sense either when we talk about a good work-life balance.
Right.
And did you know, this is really surprising for people, that attorneys have the highest substance abuse rates of all of the professions out there. And that
wow.
blew my mind too, Bert, because I'm sitting here looking at this going, wait a second, these people have a ton of value. They're generally highly intelligent. They have they're
right.
valuable to the community in general. Why are they so miserable? So when you look at the business model and the way that it's crafted, it doesn't facilitate a good work-life balance. Especially in our modern generation that has almost every household has a two working parent household. So therefore you don't have a mom or a dad staying at home. And if one of them is an attorney, then you never see them. So what we're seeing is we're seeing the shift away from this kind of traditional legal business model, which, you know, dangerously shaped like a pyramid, if you will. And you say, okay, you have all these people on the bottom, the associates, working. They have all these billable hour requirements, and they're just trying to grind all the way to the top. But none of that is good for the attorney, and it's not good for the consumer. So, yeah, being a lawyer kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does when you put it like that. And, you know, you mentioned something that a lot of people don't know. You mentioned how cumbersome it can be. You have rules and regs you have to follow. And for many years, I know that we all kind of make fun of these attorneys that you see on TV that are advertising constantly. But for a very, very long time, attorneys weren't allowed to advertise. You're going to burden yourself with opening up a business, and now you are prohibited from
advertising.
It's just crazy.
I mean, we were hated that much to where we actually the Constitution didn't apply to us for a while. Like that says a lot. Is that not so illustrative of the environment out there and how people feel about attorneys and how attorneys view themselves? Because attorneys, we were self-regulating. We were the ones who came
right.
up with that rule. And we have
right.
antiquated ethics rules. The ethics rules that govern us in my state, in particular in Arizona, they were developed in the 1970s. So they are not geared toward the way that the – I mean, think of how much has changed between the 1970s and now in particular.
Right.
It's not geared toward a modern society.
No, it's not. And, you know, the great thing about the Arizona bar, like all bars, is that they have like this quasi-governmental power without being – you know, like that's why I say quasi-governmental power – they're very slow to move or to, you know, to change, and they're difficult to deal with. They're very embedded in this 1970s way of thinking. We're not going to change because that's the way it's always been done. And all bars,
right?
Not just Arizona, but all the bars are that slow, are that behind the times, if you will.
And that's, I mean, that's across the board, right? When we look at
right.
government's reaction. You know, the government is a reflection of our culture, but they're very slow. Our culture, especially now in the age of information, is changing so rapidly. It is literally impossible for them to keep up. But I would like to challenge all the bars to revisit their ethical rules and say, does this really work in the world that we're living in now. And I think that they'll find that there's a lot of situations where it's not. And especially when we look at the fact that we have a surplus of attorneys out there right now, we have 1.22 million in the United States. And so therefore, believe it or not, Bert, there are a lot of attorneys who are out of work, and that's where your contract shop was born, basically.
So, okay, so let's talk about that. Again, it's called yourcontractshop.com, and you're sitting around doing what? I mean, where's the, you know, how did this come about? What was the epiphany, that the aha moment where you said, man, this will work?
So it was when I was a litigator. When I first started, I started out with a couple of litigation, boutique litigation law firms, and they were phenomenal. I loved the work. But what I really found is that there was a huge problem with my clients. My clients hated being there with me, right? And rightfully so. And when I looked at what they were disputing, many of them were contracts. They were either operating agreements or lack thereof, which I see more often, or an asset purchase agreement that was pulled off the internet, or a commercial lease that wasn't properly vetted out. And I would ask them all, because again, I come from an entrepreneur's background, so I'm not scared of the answer. And I would say, so, you know, really, as honestly as possible, why didn't you have an attorney review this? And I got one of three answers. One was, I don't know an attorney and I don't feel comfortable with them. Two, I can't afford an attorney. Or three, I hate attorneys. I got that one a lot, honestly. And so I said, okay, there's got to be an answer to this. You know, there's nothing that can't be solved with a constant assault of thought, as Einstein said. So I said, there's got to be some answers. Why are there these barriers there? Why are the costs so high? Why do people mistrust attorneys? What are the highest bar complaints? The highest bar complaint, believe it or not, Bert, is lack of communication. How ridiculous is that? It's just not calling our clients. So when I structured this business model, I structured it around every one of those objections, every one of those issues that these people are going after clients who are already seeing attorneys. I'm going after clients who aren't seeing attorneys, that blue ocean out there of people who need legal advice but don't know an attorney, hate attorneys, or can't afford one. And so when I looked at the model, I said, okay, flat fee is the way to go. People need to know how much they're going to pay up front, especially business owners, right? We have to be able to have metrics and numbers to work with. So I started out with flat fee right up front. Because there's a lot of money lost on the back end in collections, everything is paid through a credit card, so I don't even have to deal with that. Also with flat fee, I don't have to have what's called an IOLTA account, which is the second most sanctioned activity in the bar. So it increases my liability, right? And the IOLTA account is when you have a retainer. So if somebody says, okay, I need $1,000 and then I'll pull money out of that. Yeah, and those there's a lot of mismanagement because there are some strict requirements there. So I eliminated that and I said, okay, you know, my rates are so low. You put it on a credit card, you have 30 days to pay that off. It gives you a little bit of a buffer. And then the other thing I did is when I work with other attorneys and I bring other attorneys on in the network, they all get to work from wherever they're at. So we don't have fancy offices. We don't have fancy high-paid receptionists. We have everything that we have in the organization or in the network is geared toward the reducing the overhead, increasing efficiency, and giving our client the best product possible. Because my clients don't.
Hold on. We're getting some feedback there that was not expected. One of the challenges of messing around with this technology, so I apologize. So anyway, you were finishing up. Go ahead. We got interrupted there.
Not a problem. So essentially, when I looked at this, and this isn't necessarily, I don't want to say it's really super innovative, because this model is being done already. You know, when you look at H&R Block and what's being done as far as accountants, they've been doing this for quite some time. They've taken a profession and they've essentially commoditized it. They made it easier for people to find it, easy to buy, easy to handle. It's not super painful. That's the entire concept, making it as easy and pain-free as possible. And what I'm hoping to do through that is to inspire the other attorneys around me in their life and go back to why they went to law school, because we all went to law school to help people and to get some of that work-life balance back, and also to inspire some of the entrepreneurs and the individuals out there to say, hey, maybe I'll try it out. Maybe it won't be so difficult. I mean, it's $199. She can review my contract. We talk to each other on FaceTime or Skype, and boom, we're done. Within 24 hours, you have your answers. So that's the concept behind it. And I think we're moving in that direction in the legal arena anyway.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I love the concept. It's called yourcontractshop.com. It's easy to remember. And it's so funny that, you know, that you and I have both run into the same situation where you meet people who didn't want to spend any money on a contract, and now they have to litigate that contract. And one of the reasons...
And now it's $50,000.
Right. And I think one of the reasons that you litigate a contract is because parties, well-intentioned, were, you know, didn't know maybe how to articulate or write everything into the contract, right? And so, you know, they kind of verbally agreed, yeah, the color is going to be yellow. And then when it's all said and done, hey, I wanted the color yellow. The color is yellow, but it's not the yellow I wanted. And it's something like that. All of a sudden, it snowballs into, you know, people being mad at each other. And that's why a contract is necessary. And that's why not only is a contract necessary, but a well-written, thoughtfully documented contract, because those little details can sometimes come back to haunt us. And I'm just using that yellow as an example, but we've all done this when you are trying to document something with a friend or a family member, and after the contract is executed, you come back and say, hey, you know, remember we talked about XYZ. Oh, yeah, we'll take care of XYZ. You know, don't worry about it. And it doesn't get written in, and then XYZ becomes the problem and the situation. And so I'm saying all this that if you really want to save money with your contract, get it done right the first time. That's it.
Yes. And that's all, and right, that's so, exactly, I mean, actually your color analogy is just about perfect, because that is exactly what I see all day, every day. It's what keeps me in business, is people misunderstanding which color yellow we were talking about. And it's and the devil is in the details. And what I love about contracts, and I'm going to nerd out here for a second on contracts, but is not just that it provides you with insulation in case of litigation. I mean, that's obvious. Everybody knows that.
Right.
It's axiomatic. But what it really does for all of us is it's a guidepost through our relationship. It tells us those operating agreements, if you're in a member in an LLC, if we have a dispute, what do? Oh, okay, we go to a neutral third party, or this is the deciding vote. If we have an issue where, for instance, somebody is injured or incapacitated, how are we going to run the business? So these things provide you with guidance long before you ever get to the point of litigation, and it manages people's expectations. I was in sales before, and I'm sure you understand this, Bert. Managing expectations is, I think, the single most important thing that a salesperson can do, and I feel the same way about partnerships. You need to manage each other's expectations, understanding that I think that yellow looks like bright neon yellow, and you think yellow looks like a soft buttercream. And knowing that, we have to get very specific, and that's where an attorney's value really comes in, because we know, we can ask the questions, right? We don't know the answers. We know the questions that are essential.
Right. I love that. And you know what? You mentioned, you know, that you're here in Arizona. I'm here in Arizona. And so I wanted to talk about this because you also mentioned network. So if I'm in New York and I go to yourcontractshop.com, can I get connected with an attorney in New York? So talk about that.
Not yet, but that is my plan, 100%. So we're in Arizona exclusively. So as you know, each state has their own bar, and each attorney has to be licensed. You have to be licensed in each state, and there are attorneys who are licensed in multiple states. But my plan is to eventually go nationwide and allow people from all over the country and even into other English-speaking countries like Canada and so on. And only because I only speak English, I will go into other countries if I find a phenomenal partner who speaks other languages. But this way, we can make it so much more accessible, and people, no matter where they're located, because a lot of times you'll have people who are dealing with each other on opposite country. In fact, that happens a lot. So that's imperative. It's essential.
All right. So here I am. I'm a business owner in the state of Arizona. I go to yourcontractshop.com. Walk me through the steps. I want a contract that I'm going to have my client sign when I do work for them. So kind of, you know, that's what I need. I need a contract for my clients to sign. Now walk me through the steps at yourcontractshop.com.
Okay, so there are two avenues. If you already have a contract drafted, or let's say you've pulled it off of LegalZoom or off the internet, or you've written something up yourself, then you can
right.
go on there. And if it's 5 pages or less, I will review the entire agreement, provide you with an explanatory memoranda, and usually if there's some additional language that's necessary, I will provide that as well. And I always like to put a couple of fun tips at the bottom. I do a lot of negotiations, so I put some negotiating tips at the bottom. If you know, if you're negotiating with that client, or if it's a template, that's fine. But if you're negotiating directly with that client, I'll say, hey, you can add this in here, but maybe keep a couple of these things back for concessions later. And I turn those around in 24 hours, and then we book a 15-minute consult with me. That's for the smallest package. So you get on, you hire me, you sign the retention agreement online, you pay for it online, you send me the agreement, I review it, I return it in 24 hours, and then we schedule a time for us to chat. And I do that in any way that you feel most comfortable. I will FaceTime, I'll Skype, we can do it on just a call, which I found most clients prefer. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world now, people just want a quick phone call. And you get 15 right. minutes with me to answer the questions. If you want to add additional time for each of my clients, I allowed them to add another 60 minutes for $50, which is a really great smoking deal, so that we can continue yes. the conversation if other issues come up. And then we're done. I mean, within less than 24 hours, you have your answers.
Man, I love that. I love that so very much. Yourcontractshop.com. it's actually not handled by just an entrepreneur, but by a licensed attorney licensed in the state of Arizona, the great state of Arizona. And Megan, I'd love to bring you back, talk more about not only the legal side of being an entrepreneur, but the business side of being an entrepreneur. This has been so much fun. Again, it's called Your Contract Shop. The attorney and the founder and the CEO is Megan Porth. Megan, again, it's been a blast.
Oh, thank you so much, Bert. I appreciate it.
Good stuff there from attorney Megan Porth in her contract, Your Contract Shop business, yourcontractshop.com business, currently serving all the residents of Arizona. But as you can tell, she's got big plans. She's going to be expanding this. If you're an attorney and you like her model, maybe you can reach out to her and start it in your state. I think it could be a winner. yourcontractshop.com. And might save you as a business owner, might save you tens of thousands of dollars in time, money, and headaches. So I think it's worth checking out. Look, a simple contract can become simply expensive if you do it incorrectly. Having said that, no matter what business you're in, no matter what you do, remember, you were created.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.